episode 70 of Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love most, travel. Each week, we'll talk about different adventures and vacation options out there, some local, some more exotic. Join us as we chat about our own travels and those of our clients. Hopefully, our talks will help you dream, plan, and get out there. My name is Elizabeth, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Amy, Lindsay, and Sandy. Traveling with kids is sometimes challenging. Many people question whether or not you should do it at all until they reach a certain age. But then there are others who start traveling with their children almost from the moment they are born. Childhood is fleeting. We hear it said in many ways, so why wait? Why not turn your children into world travelers? There are many books on the topic. Tonight, as a guide, we're using Frommer's 500 Places to Take Your Kids Before They Grow Up as a starting point for discussion. But really, we're all passionate about traveling with children, so we offer our own thoughts on the matter as well. So I think let's start with the whole debate over traveling with children. Why should you travel with children? Why do people think you shouldn't travel with children? I think the first thing that always comes up is flights. So
that's opposite of what I was thinking.
Really?
I don't think flights at all either.
Really?
I was thinking road trips. And that's one of the things I always had to do with my kids because my husband worked and the kids were year-round school or even before they were in school. And I was a stay-at-home mom, so I took them on tons of road trips to visit relatives and stuff. And it really got them acclimated to traveling like that. So I think that's a really good way to do it.
Well, so I guess I phrased my statement a little bit incorrectly. What I was saying is people object to children being on airplanes.
Yeah. No one objects to my kids being in my car.
That's right. Exactly. You can always throw the kids in the car, but it's really hard to get to Europe in a car.
Yeah.
It's very difficult. So Amy, what were you thinking?
I misunderstood you also. I thought that people themselves objected to taking their own kids on flights because they were too long or something. Mm-hmm. You're saying that passengers, they were worried about passengers.
Yes, worried about other passengers. And you hear the little stories on the internet about, this mother with little babies gets on the plane and hands everybody around her a little gift bag saying, I'm sorry, I might cry. I'm just, I'm really little, which I think is really sweet, but why should you have to, bribe the people around you?
Yeah.
For having a baby.
I have a lot of sympathy for that now that I've had kids and had to travel with them. And most of the people I've seen with children on planes are really trying to keep their kids quiet and occupied. Sometimes they just are crying and you can't stop them. Mm-hmm. It's not like you don't hear it,
I was the token non-child having member on this podcast. I was on a flight with a lovely lady and her tiny little baby right next to me, and she actually, I think, stressed herself out trying to apologize to me over a million things that she absolutely did not need to apologize for the whole entire time. And I'm like, no, it's okay. It's seriously, it's okay. Mm-hmm. We were all babies. Her apologies were more uncomfortable than...
I think most people on planes feel better about it if they see that you're actually making an effort, to pacify your children and keep them under control.
And I guess the main thing to remember is that the person who is a jerk to you because you have a child on a plane is the exception.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that they aren't out there and they have every right to be angry about the fact there are children in the world, but but don't take that personally, You have a right to travel with your child.
And odds are if it wasn't your child they were angry about, they'd find something else.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. We should do a podcast on adults behaving badly.
Yes. I had a friend who was just on that plane that was stopped because somebody was playing with laser pointers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he was on that plane. So, yeah, good times. So, yes, children are not the worst problem that we have. So I guess my point in bringing that up was to sort of say, and people take babies on planes for lots of reasons. Babies are born in countries where their families don't actually, their extended families don't live. So people take babies and children overseas or to, to other states or whatever to see family. And it's just part of our world today.
And really, I think it's kind of like ripping a Band-Aid off. You just have to do it because that's the only way the kids are going to get used to it. That's the only way to get them acclimated to that kind of stuff. So
let's switch over to something that's sort of more along the lines, I think, of what you were thinking, which was the idea of some people say, well, I don't want to take my kids too far because they're young. They won't remember it. They're not old enough to appreciate it. Let's talk about
that. So when people say they don't want to take their kids somewhere because they don't remember it, some of my best memories, and I say that with quotes, are just from pictures of, mm-hmm. you know, things. And, you know, yeah, I took my kid to Disney when she was 18 months old. That was for me. That wasn't for her. But, you know, she sees those pictures and she remembers that we did that, you know. I mean, she doesn't remember. Actually, you know what I'm trying to say. But, yeah, I mean, I think that's why you take a lot of pictures and you preserve those memories. And, you know, I look back at my pictures of when I was a kid, and I don't remember every single trip, but I know I was there. I know I did it. And I'll say another thing, too. How many times in college did you go out and have fun and you didn't remember the next day?
I don't know. I don't remember. Amy, you've been traveling with your kids since they were wee. What, how do you feel about...
you know, and my biggest thing, the reason that I hate traveling with young, and I still do it, is because right now I'm still battling my 8-year-old, 7-year-old at the dinner table and the freaking behavior mm-hmm. that comes with that. Some kids just are not so good at sitting still or behaving out in public. I don't know. She can handle it. It just makes me angry. That's my biggest thing with holding back. We were talking about doing a Europe trip this summer, and we are exactly what you guys are saying. We're discussing, well, will Libby remember Europe? Is it worth spending just her portion alone, a couple $1,000s to send her to Europe with us? But then we're also sort of holding back on the other kids' experience, and that's not fair either. So it's a discussion we're still having. I'll let you know.
Well, and, you know, to point to that exactly, and maybe Lindsay can have some comments from observations, I feel like since I started taking my children on trips when they were very young, and I will say we haven't taken our kids outside of the country yet. We're about to, unless you count cruising, we're about to take them on a trip outside the country. And they, the travel we've done has sort of programmed them. I'll compare it to something like learning to brush your teeth. You know, your 2-year-old doesn't remember that he learned to brush his teeth when he was 2. However, he's been doing it, you know, and so it becomes sort of a normal behavior. And so for me, I've been able to use those opportunities to get my kids to try new food. Like a cruise is a great way mm-hmm. to encourage your kids to try new food because all the food's paid for. So you can say, you know what, could you please just try this? And then if you don't like it, get the chicken nuggets.
You know? Hot dog.
Yeah, exactly. Or they can bring both, but I want you to at least try this. And they can try it off your plate, or they can try it themselves. And we gave my daughter escargot, and she was about 18 months old. And we gave her one off of our plate, and she started eating all of them, so we ordered another one. So, yeah, it's, you know, and all, it's just garlic butter with it. So and she was too young to understand that it was a snail, so it wouldn't have really mattered anyway. Yeah. She thought it was delicious. And so she's always sort of, you know, we've always told her, well, you love escargot. And now, and she does. She still does to this day. Now, the downside to that is every now and then we go to a restaurant, she sees lobster on the menu. And she's like, can I have the lobster? It's like, no.
We are not out of the country.
We are not in a cruise ship. Yes. You have to be on a ship where it's already paid for.
Yeah.
But I do think it's helped behavior a little bit. So have you seen that, Lindsay? Have you seen that kids who travel?
Oh, definitely. They're, you know, I've seen that they're more curious about the world, and it kind of gives them a better understanding of different cultures and different walks of life. This is my little wow moment. I really wish my parents had taken me more places when I was younger. And I didn't realize that until I got older and I started traveling, about all the experiences and all the doors that it would open up. And I see people that say the same thing. They say, oh, the kids are too young, they're not going to remember. But then when I'm traveling and I look around and I see people having these great experiences with their children, when we did our Mediterranean cruise, there was a 3-month-old baby on the cruise with us. And we thought, oh, for sure, you know, they're not going to, they did every single shore excursion that we did. They did. They had the baby on the pack and they had the best time. They have the most amazing pictures. Now that's a extreme age, but mm-hmm. you know, but they had, it didn't hold them back. The, you know, that they had acclimated their child at an extremely young age to flying and to traveling. And it just, you can definitely tell, I think, that the kids that have been on a plane before and when you're flying versus mm-hmm. the ones who, yeah. this is their first time and they have no.
Yeah.
And just that aside, I think, you know, you use the argument that your kids are too young, but really when they do get older, they're into so many different activities and there's everybody going in different directions. And then you have that excuse. So my kid has a soccer tournament. It's really important. They're really good or whatever it is. Then you just, you get in a bad rut. I don't know. That's the argument I hate. Oh, we can't ever get away because of my kid's sports schedule.
Oh yeah. Everybody, that's the one I hear the most is asking all of you parents, I hear this all the time, the school schedule, the sports, the whatever. Yeah. How do you,
the school schedule is a legitimate concern. I will say I'm not, you know, it is a parent's decision ultimately. And you know, between the parent and the teacher to take them out. I also won't say that you should miss travel opportunities because of school.
Right.
I think if it's, you know, if it's the right opportunity,
right,
you should take it. But of course you do have to weigh, you know, and it's sort of the same. It's the same with sports. You know, is this a championship that they're missing? Is it the first practice of the year?
My kids don't do sports. So what it looks like to me whenever people use that, it seems like they are really expecting their kid to maybe get a scholarship or so, you know, something
yes.
that's going to lead to something big.
Mm-hmm.
And that I can totally understand. But, you know, I don't have that problem. My kids don't do any sports, but my daughter does chorus, and you know, I don't want her to miss opportunities for that. You know, I want her to do that until she doesn't.
But you find anything. Ways to travel around that. I don't know.
Oh, that's I just, do. I mean,
yeah.
Well, and I would, another thing that my kids have been doing is traveling with school things, you know, so that kind of is like built-in excuse because it's with the school. So
it's a good time to talk about priorities. And, you know, cause my daughter missed a chorus, concert last year for travel. And the deal was we had scheduled the travel long before we knew when the concert was. And the concert was way earlier in the year than I expected it to be. So it was a big surprise to us. And I actually offered, you know, our plans were not completely set yet. So I offered that she and I could go a day later to, you know, and join the rest of the family the next day if she wanted to do her chorus concert. She actually went and talked to her teacher, and her teacher's like, go. Go. You should not, you know, this is a great concert. And she went to all the practices, and she didn't try out for any solos or anything because she knew she wasn't going to do that. So she enjoyed the process of preparing for the concert, and then she just didn't do it. And, you know, maybe some kids would be super disappointed in that she made a choice. The choice was hers. And so she ended up okay with that decision. I think had I said, you're going to miss the chorus concert because we're going to do this, that might have been a different story. So it is a really good chance to discuss priorities and figure out.
And that's good that you were able to let her decide, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah.
Well, it might have been a case where the plane tickets were already bought. I mean, in that case, it wasn't. I was fortunate in that. But, you know, it can vary.
So let's talk about where.
Mm-hmm.
Where are some places you got to take your kids?
Well, I made this list of 500 places. So everybody be quiet.
Well, I read off all 500 of them.
So I always, like, my husband's sound, like, every time he ever talks to me about travel, he's always like, God, why do you want to go to Europe? There are so many places here in the U.S. that we have never seen.
That's
true. So starting in the U.S.
Yeah.
Places I've never been as a child, and I want to take my kids. Sandy, you'll appreciate this. The Grand Canyon.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
National parks. That's just national parks.
Yep.
And kids can appreciate that. It's animals, it's nature. It's not like it's really complicated. There's not, you don't have to discuss world history and wars.
It's amazing.
And all that.
It's amazing stuff out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And gorgeous stuff, too. I mean, and it's funny, too, when you fly across the country and you look out the window, how much land there is.
Yes.
The U.S. is huge, and there's so much unpopulated land out there to explore. So, yeah, lots of opportunities.
So then I would build on that after national parks or big cities. I think that's an easy way to get kids used to travel. And big cities have kids living in them.
Yeah.
So there's always things for kids to do in them. You know, there's kids' museums, there's regular museums, there's iconic buildings. You know, going to New York City, my kids knew what the Empire State Building was. I don't even know how, because it's not even like the tallest building.
I mean,
I've talked about this
movie
before.
In the world.
Yeah, and the Statue of Liberty. These are things that they have seen in picture books from birth. And so San Francisco, the Golden Gate Bridge and the Painted Ladies and, you know, those sort of iconic. Los Angeles, the Hollywood sign, Disneyland. They've seen those things and they know what that's all about. And so that's an easy way to sort of get them used to. And if you don't live in a big city, that also helps get that travel being comfortable with travel, because that, you know, if you live in the suburbs like we do, or, you know, then getting into a big city is a big shock, big tall buildings, lots of traffic, lots of dirt, lots of people. And it's just, it's a new, not dirt, dirt, but it's, you know, noise. Dirty. Yes. Yeah, noise. And
one of the coolest things that we used to do when my kids were small was, I had memberships to the local zoo and the local museums and stuff. And they reciprocate with a lot of other zoos and museums. So, for example, you know, I had a Carnegie membership in Pittsburgh. And
here it is.
And the Science Center there is excellent. And then, but, you know, I reciprocated with the one in Winston-Salem and the one in Raleigh and the one in Durham. You know, so, you know, if you just happen to be going to another city, there's places you already have admission to for mm-hmm. free, you know. And it's one time we got a museum membership because we had a birthday party there. So there's different ways to get stuff like that. And then you have like a built-in thing to do that your kids are going to love. I mean, my kids still want to go to the Science Center every time we go to Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. They love it.
Yeah, you probably don't want to take them to the art museum when they're, you know, baby. Well, when they're babies, actually, that's a great thing to do because all yeah, the colors right. and everything. You have to watch what age, but yeah, that's, yeah.
Yeah.
Good thing to do. One of the things that I really like about this book that I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, this 500 Places to Take Your Kids, is it's actually organized by sort of interests. And so that's something to take into consideration too. When your kids are really into dinosaurs, mm-hmm. One of the things they suggest, and I literally just opened up and turned to this, is the Jurassic Coast in England, in Devonshire area, where there's been lots of digs there and dinosaurs. And you might not think of England for dinosaurs, but there are actually. Everybody's lived
still
in England
there.
At some point. Yeah. They're still there. They're wandering around. Or you know, you could go to Kauai where Jurassic Park was filmed. And believe it or not, kids know the film Jurassic Park, which also surprises me because that movie scared the bejesus out of me.
Owen loves dinosaurs. Mm-hmm. But you know, one of the coolest things we did when we went to LA was the La Brea Tar Pits.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not dinosaurs there, but there's mammoths and the tar is still bubbling up in the parking lot and in the park next door and stuff. It's really
cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's in the city. You know, I mean, it's really cool. That was a good one.
And so then right next to that is the Newark Earthworks Ancient Observatory in Newark, Ohio. So, you know, primitive people, Stonehenge kind of thing in Ohio. Who knew?
Who knew? Where's
yeah. Newark, Ohio?
I don't know. I actually don't. I usually have family in Ohio. So yeah, that's what I really love about this book is it's sort of got places everywhere. And so then, you know, there's one on taking in the scenery, just iconic buildings and places. And it mentions the Brooklyn Bridge right next to the Tower Bridge in London. Mm-hmm. Not that they are right next to each other. They're next to each other in the book. So yes, I do know that there's, so history. So it's sort of, goes by interests and maybe what they're studying in school. And that's always a great thing for traveling with kids if you can tie it into school. We recently went to Hawaii and went to Pearl Harbor, and my son has been sort of fascinated with sort of the true stories of Pearl Harbor, and he knew more about Pearl Harbor than I did when we got there, and he was just enraptured by.
See, that's cool. That's perfect timing, mm-hmm. you know, when he's just learned about it, mm-hmm. and be able to go see something like that.
And so that's yeah. also, you can do that in the reverse too. You can say, okay, well, I want to take the family to Greece. And so you can start sort of putting that stuff out there so that they can become engaged in it.
My cousin did that with South Dakota. She read her daughters all the Laura Ingalls Wilder's books from Little House on the Prairie mm-hmm. and stuff, and they went and visited the places. And
can I give a shout out
yeah.
to a neighbor? Am I allowed to say a name?
Sure.
She
yeah.
listens. Kristen Uzitis. Do you know her, Sandy?
No. But thanks for listening, Kristen.
she went to Germany mm-hmm. over the summer with her kids. They did a whole German trip.
Mm-hmm.
And awesome. Part of the stuff that they did to get their kids excited beforehand, because they're all different ages, her three kids, they did the puzzles. They got puzzles of some of the castles. Cool. So they were putting together the puzzles. They did, like, food tasting from the different countries before they even went, just to, like, get them excited for this trip. I thought it was the coolest thing. But she's very creative. She's very Pinteresty. I love you, Kristen, but, man, I could not keep up with you.
Yeah. Yeah, and you don't have to go all out, but it is pretty easy to sort of find ways to bring it in. And then the other idea is escorted tours that cater to families. And we've talked about Adventures by Disney before, and it's probably a good time to bring them up again. And there are other tour companies out there who do tours that are specifically designed for families. And the reason you want to lean toward one of those is they understand that the children on that trip may not be engaged unless they actively do something to engage them. So they will, you know, Adventures by Disney incorporates storytelling into everything. It's all about storytelling. That enraptures the adults and the children, but that's how they bring those children you know, up to speed with what they're seeing and make them really remember. And that makes them remember it too. When you tell somebody a story about something, then your 8-year-old may actually remember visiting something that you wouldn't think your 8-year-old would remember visiting.
Yeah.
Any other suggestions? You know, well, let's talk a little bit about traveling abroad with children, because I think language, that sort of thing, is sort of scary to some people to think their children might be overwhelmed by foreign language. But honestly, children absorb things like that pretty quickly. So it might not be as scary as you think it is.
Yeah. And there's where you go with an escorted tour.
Yeah. Well, Amy, I think it's really cool what your mom did for your daughters. What? How old were they whenever she?
So they would when each one turns 10, they get to pick wherever in the world they want to go, and she takes them. So Abby, when she was 10, chose Iceland.
I love
that.
Which
is really cool. I mean, she still talks about that trip and wants us to go. Emma, first she chose Paris, and then she chose Hollywood, California.
Yeah. So she ended up in Hollywood, or she?
She ended up in Hollywood, in California, she, like doing the whole red carpet thing, like that whole area and walk. Yeah.
That's okay. Where do you think Livy's going to go? Where do you think Livy will go?
Well, I'm afraid that my mom's turning 80 before she's even 10. Like, so she'll be 81. So I might have to go. Darn it.
Yeah, right.
Rats.
That's awesome, though. I love that tradition. I think that's
so that is cool. Yeah. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, it's nice that it's so young, too. My mom did something, and of course, we were traveling before this, but she basically said, when you graduate from high school, I'll take you anywhere in the domestic United States. And then when you graduate from college, anywhere in the world. And it was sort of a motivational thing. It wasn't really, I mean, you know, neither my sister or I were in any danger of not going to college, but I think my mom was nervous about that. So we said, okay, we'll go. And so it turned out really well, you know, but now that I think about it, I don't know that I ever officially collected on that.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think
See,
I did.
See, I did that. I did that with my nephew. He had some issues with, we weren't sure he was going to graduate from high school, and we told him we'd take him to California with us, and we dangled that carrot that whole year, and he had missed so many days that he was having to go in early and stay late just to make up time. But he graduated. He did it. Mm-hmm. And I was at his graduation.
And he went to California?
He came to California with us. Yeah, we went to Yosemite. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, yeah, we did it up. It was 2 weeks of awesomeness. It was cool. It was very cool for him. I'm glad he got to do it.
Well, one of my best clients has what they do is there's 5 people in the family, 3 kids, 2 adults, and they take turns from oldest to youngest each year picking their big summer trip. So first dad did, then mom did, then, you know, oldest son. We've talked to them before. And it really is interesting. And I'm not going to say that mom and dad don't sometimes try to sway the kids, but ultimately it is their decision where they want to go. And the whole family goes. It's not like it's just them. And so they sort of get exposed to each other's interest too, which I think kind of brings them together as a family as well.
If we did that, we'd be in Japan. That's
just my kids say Disney every year.
Well, I do think they have a rule that it can't be someplace, you know, that it can't be someplace they've been before. But they also have the luxury of taking more than one trip a year. So, they do some repeats, but it can't be their big summer trip. And it is nice because I think some of the family has interest in theme parks, the other parts of the family don't. So, you know, it sort of allows.
Well, and I think that getting them to participate like that, I think goes back to, you know, you asking Athena if she wanted to do her concert. I think when you can involve them in the planning, same thing with like getting them to try new foods if you get them to help cook it, you know, when they're involved in the planning, then they really get vested in it and excited about it.
And it gives
true.
It gives you an opportunity to talk to them and find out what they're interested in.
Yeah.
I actually might not have really understood that my son was as interested in Pearl Harbor as he was.
Yeah.
But, you know, as we started talking about where we were going, he was like, we're going to go to Pearl Harbor, right? And I was like, I guess so. You know, it wasn't something that I had really thought about.
We're not going all this way.
Yeah. That's the only thing I know about Hawaii is basically what he was saying. And so it was really important that we do that. And we made sure he understood there were lots of other cool things in Hawaii, but we did make sure we did that. So
that's cool. Good for him.
Okay, well, that is our show for this week. We welcome your comments and feedback on this episode or any episode, really. To leave comments, visit us at outlandertravel.com, then click podcast at the top of the page and find the episode you wish to comment on, or like us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/outlanderpodcast. or email us at info@outlandertravel.com. We would love to hear from you. On behalf of Sandy, Lindsay, Amy, and our amazing engineer and editor, Heidi, as well as myself, Elizabeth, thank you for joining us here at Outlander of Travel, and we'll see you next week. Gotta fly.
Hi, this is Sandy.
And Lindsay. And we are excited about our next group adventure.
We would love for you guys to join us at Epcot's International Flower and Garden Festival over the weekend of May 5th through 9th, 2016, and benefit from our special group rates.
The World Showcase will come alive with whimsical topiaries, special demonstrations, delicious offerings from seasonal booths, and the sounds of the Garden Rocks concert series.
Yeah, and that weekend it's going to be the Gym Blossom, so it's going to be awesome. We have special group rates available at three of our favorite Walt Disney World resorts, Disney's Pop Century Resort, Disney's Port Orleans Riverside Resort, and Disney's Contemporary Resort.
Space is limited, so be sure to contact your favorite Outlander travel agent today to book.
Don't miss out on this opportunity to travel with your travel agent.